If you have your Bibles this morning, find, if you would, the book of Proverbs, Proverbs chapter 22. It probably would be beneficial if you would go ahead and find Deuteronomy chapter number 6, Proverbs chapter number 22, Deuteronomy chapter number 6. If you do not have a Bible, there should be a Bible in the pew in front of you, and please feel free to take it and to use it. Maybe somebody will notice you don't have one and help you. I want to preach a message today along the lines of baby dedication, but I want to preach a message today about our homes, and I want to preach a message entitled, A Dedicated Home. A Dedicated Home. This word dedication has been on my heart and my mind throughout the last couple of weeks in preparation for this message, and I've been doing a lot of study on it and on the Word, and I believe that God has brought us to the moment and to this message that I think will help. I would beg you to grab a pen, a bulletin, a piece of paper, something that you could write some thoughts down. Whether you are a grandma, grandpa, whether you are a parent, your children are gone out of the home, whether you are not a parent, but you could give this to help somebody. I believe there's plenty of meat here for everybody today. Some 40 times in the Bible is the word dedicate, dedicated, dedicating, or dedication used. 40 times. I began to research those words or the words of dedication, and I found that there's two Hebrew words that are translated from the Hebrew into the English, the word dedicate. So you understand that the Old Testament was written in the Hebrew Masoretic text, and the New Testament was written in Greek and Aramaic. And so they'll take those Hebrew words and they'll translate them into English words. The first Hebrew word that is translated is a word called Kadesh, Q-A-D-E-S-H. 10 times this word Kadesh is translated dedicated. Also in the Bible, that word Kadesh can be translated, and that same word is translated holy, consecrate, or sanctify. So that one Hebrew word is translated dedicate 10 times, but also in the Bible, that same Hebrew word is translated holy, consecrate, or to sanctify. We know that the word holy means to set apart. Consecrate means to be devoted or yielded to. Sanctified is also that word that talks about a separation or a focus. So when we talk about baby dedication, we are talking about the way of holiness or set apart, a consecration. People are standing here and saying that we want to rear our children differently than the world does. We want to rear our children with a focus and a purpose. We want for our child to be dedicated to the holiness, consecrated and sanctified to the precious Spirit of God for the glory of God. And by the way, that ought to be the goal of all of our Christian homes, amen? That there'd be a holiness and a separation unto the Lord. There's another Hebrew word called Chanak, C-H-A-N-A-K, C-H-A-N-A-K. It is translated, dedicated, 4 times, all right? 4 times is it translated, dedicate. But then there is another way that it is translated. The same way Kadesh is translated 10 times dedicated, it's also translated holy, consecrate, and sanctify. This word Chanak is translated dedicate, but it's also translated another way. Look, if you would, at Proverbs chapter 22 in verse number 6. What are the first two words of that verse? Let's read them out loud. Here we go. Train up. If you were to take parentheses and put around those words, train up, that is the Hebrew word, chanuk. That is the word, dedicate. So when we are talking about dedication, a dedication has at a goal holiness, consecration, and sanctification. Something that is dedicated is set apart unto God. And a parent will stand here and say, I want my child to be dedicated. I want him to be set apart unto the Lord. You in your home, you those of you that know the Lord, our homes are to be dedicated, set apart unto the Lord. But there's also an active part of the word dedication that shows us how we get to that goal. The goal is to set apart unto holiness. How we get there is by training up. So there is a dedication is not for the baby. A baby cannot train itself. By the way, let me tell you, parents, a verse that you better appropriate and appreciate. The Bible says, a child left to himself will bring his mother what? Shame. So the next time you say, oh, leave him alone, he'll figure it out. You're headed for shame. Well, you know, he's gotta do it his way, and so let's just let him learn on his own. You're headed for shame. A child left to himself will bring his mother shame. So a parent that dedicates says, here's the goal is holiness. And the way we get to the goal is by training up. It's an action word. It's a word of intensity. It's a word that has a direction to it. So when we talk about baby dedication, we're talking about holiness and training. When I talk about dedication for your home, I'm telling you that mom and dad, your home ought to be have as a goal holiness in the Lord Jesus Christ. Matter of fact, look at Proverbs 22, verse number 6. Train up a child in the way. What way? The way of holiness. He should go. And when he is old, he will not depart from it. Don't you remember in Romans chapter 12, verse number 1, Paul said, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. And so our homes, if they're going to be dedicated to the glory of God, are going to be dedicated with a goal of holiness. And as a parent, your responsibility is to train your child in the direction of holiness. Now, they'll never know holiness without knowing the Lord Jesus. He said, be holy as I am holy. So it begins with salvation, but then there's the supplemental and the growth along those lines. And so that is a parent's responsibility. And that should be the goal of all of our homes, whether or not you even have children. And so you say, well, Pastor, I would agree with that, but how do I train up a child? Well, there are three things I think that every parent better realize the Bible teaches when it comes to how you train your child. What makes you a good parent? What makes you a Bible parent? What makes you a godly parent? Go, if you would, to Deuteronomy chapter number 6. And if you look at Deuteronomy chapter 6, this is instruction that Moses is given under the authority of God. In verse number 1, right at the end of the verse, you see the words, in the land. This is instruction when the nation of Israel is going into the land. The promise was, when you go into the land, if you obey me, there will be blessing. If you disobey me, you will reap the consequence of that. That's what God told them to do. So God understood that he was dealing with generations. He understood that he had dads and moms that had come out of Egypt, and then they had children in the wilderness and so on. And so he knew he would have generations. And God wanted to bless those generations perpetually. God wanted to have a line of blessing that would run through each home. And by the way, on a pastor's level, it is great to watch the blessing and peace of God be transferred from your dad's home to your home and go on. I love to see the trail of righteousness go through generations. Pastor, I didn't have a righteous background. I didn't have saved parents. I didn't have a Christian home. Well, we have Jesus, amen? But you can begin it. You can begin it. And God knew when those people went into the land that he wanted to bless them perpetually in their generations. And he wanted to use them to show the world what a great God he is. And so he instructs the parents in verses 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, and 9. And he instructs them on their responsibility to their children. If you look at verse number 7, you will see the word children in that verse. And so he gives what I do believe to be three instructions here. Number 1, verse number 5. And thou shalt, what's that word? Love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might. So the first way you train your child, or even have an ability to train your child, is you must have a love for God yourself, mom and dad. He said that you love the Lord with your whole heart. Boy, the most dangerous thing a parent can do or a home can have is a dad or a mom that has a divided heart. By the way, the Bible says a double-minded man is what, class? Unstable in all his ways. So if you have a dad that has a secretly divided heart with the Lord, or a mom that has a secretly divided heart, that family may not see it, but God knows it, and you have instability in that home. And so, man, if there's anything that shakes our homes, it's instability and not the security of the Lord. And so the first thing mom and dad needs is they need to have a genuine 100% heart that loves the Lord, loves the Lord fully. That begins with salvation. You must be saved, and then that love begins to grow. And by the way, you will never be able to love your kid any higher than you love the Lord. You will never be able to love your spouse above which you love the Lord. Sometimes I bring people into my office and I'll say, okay, now, do you love one another? Oh, Pastor, I love her dearly. Now, he's treating her horribly. Or vice versa. You women aren't perfect. Amen. Okay, vice versa. So sometimes we have the capacity to say, I love them. And we think we are loving at a level that is satisfying. But really and truthfully, the way you act or demonstrate that love in your home is a direct correlation to the way you love the Lord. You cannot love anybody more than you love the Lord. And you'll never love anybody properly unless you love them through the Lord. And you will never have a dedicated home, mom and dad. And you will never know the goal of holiness. And you'll never be able to train up your child if there's not a heart that loves the Lord Jesus in mom and dad. Number two. He said, not only that, verse number 6, and these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine what? Heart. So not only do you have to love the Lord, but you need the word of God in your heart. You need the authority of God's word, the memorization of God's word, the principles of God's word in your heart. You cannot teach, which is the next one. You cannot instruct or train your child in the way of holiness if you don't have God's word in your heart. Well, Pastor, I'm a Christian. Well, good. Good. You have Christ in your heart, but get God's word in there. Get the foundation of God's word in your heart. Every parent ought to be a good student of the Bible. Be a good student. And then he says, a good parent, you love the Lord. You have the word of God in your heart. And then verse number 7, and thou shalt, what's that word? Teach. Okay. You shall, look at the verse. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children. Whose responsibility is it to teach your children? Yours. Yours. Not the pastor. Not the youth pastor. Not the public school. Not the Christian school. We're kind of undergirding. But the responsibility to teach a child falls on you. By the way, you will never teach above the level of your understanding. I'm understanding that the more my girls get into algebra too. So mom and dad, listen. Your responsibility to grow in the Lord is paramount. See, when your kid is small and they come home from church and they got all the little colored papers and you see Jonah and you're like, yeah, Jonah got swallowed by the whale. And then they get into the third grade and they're bringing home some of the Bible stories. Oh yeah, I know those Bible stories. But your child is going to reach a level where the Bible stories are not going to be sufficient alone in themselves to help them. They're going to need doctrine. They're going to need the pure in the powerful Word of God. And your child pretty soon goes from a little kindergartner, elementary. But man, when they get into high school and they're going to be married, and then they're going to go to college, they're going to get married, they're going to have babies and children and so on. And they're not going to stop growing, and they're going to need dad and mom to grow spiritually with them so dad and mom can teach them. Most of the time, though, is the mom and dad don't grow spiritually, and the kid outgrows the level of a spiritual understanding of the parent. And so then the parent knows that and just withdraws. You know, as a parent, I don't like to be exposed. So I say, go ask your mother. Go check that out with mom. Make sure she's got the right answer. Come back to me when you get that fit. We don't like to be exposed. Kids will expose mom and dad. So dedicated homes have as a goal holiness and separate unto God, that my home is for the glory of God. To get there is the training up. And so as a parent, I need to love the Lord. I need to have God's word in my heart, and I need to be able to teach. Now, Pastor, I'm not a good Bible teacher. I'm going to show you something about teaching. He's not saying that you got to sit down here and explain to them how the tabernacle was constructed and all of the illustration with the tabernacle. You don't have to explain where Cain got his wife. You don't have to explain all of the nuances of how the old covenant fits into the new covenant. You don't have to explain premillennial and all of this kind of stuff. He's not talking about that. Nor necessarily is he talking about family altar. Now, let me help us with family altar. What I'm finding is more bad is happening in family altar than good. We're forcing our kids to kind of this legal position to help us in our mentality. Now, if you do family altar in your home, great. You better do it right. How do I know if I'm doing it right? If it's miserable and it's loaded with argument and there's just a spirit of discord and everything, and you've got to force it, you're doing it wrong. You're doing it wrong. The Bible says, great peace have they which love thy what class? Thy law. Our home, we don't necessarily do family altar all the time. I don't take my kids and put them in a circle and force them to do all this all the time. But I'm constantly teaching them. Look, if you would, at verse number 7. I want you to understand about this teaching here. And shalt talk of them when thou... let's pick up verse 7. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, when thou walkest by the way, that's out of your house, when thou liest down, when thou risest up, that's in the morning and the evening. Thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, they shall be as frontlets between thy eyes. Thou shalt write them on the post of thy house and on thy gates. What is he saying? He's saying that, dad and mom, everything about your life ought to teach your children about Jesus Christ. We used to say it this way, more is caught than taught. So in your home, you're constantly talking about the Lord. You come up to a situation, and it doesn't matter what people think. It's what does Jesus think? If we're blessed, it's praise be to God. If we have a need, let's pray. If we have some kind of problem, let's get wisdom from the Word of God. And so your life is so filled with the love of God and the Word of God that everything you are doing is under the preeminence of Jesus and the authority of God's Word, that you are constantly teaching your kid, and your kid is sitting there watching you, and they're watching you in the depths of your trial. They're watching you at the height of your joy. They're looking for that precious Spirit of God, and they're watching how you go, and they're learning, and they're watching, and they're listening, and you're instilling in them a foundation. That's a lot better than forcing them to do something that doesn't have God's power on it. And good parents that train up their children, they love the Lord. They've got God's word in their heart. And everything about their life is teaching their kids about Jesus Christ. I want to ask you a question. Is your kid looking at you and learning how to grow in the knowledge and grace of Jesus Christ? Or are they learning what not to do? Amen. Amen. I'm convicted by that in my own heart. So what makes a good pair? What makes us have able to train? We love the Lord. We have God's word in our heart. And we're able to teach by the way our lives are lived. If you're with me, say amen. Write down five things and we're done. Five things. Here's the five most important things I think you ought to teach your kid. Number one. You better train your kid to fear the Lord. Proverbs chapter 1, verse number 7. Proverbs chapter 1, verse number 7. You need to train your kid to fear the Lord. You need to teach your kid about the preeminence of Jesus Christ. You need to teach the kid that as the way that a child has a reverential fear for their parent, that is the way that I ought to have a reverential fear for God. By the way, there's only one God. Amen? And we need to teach him that he's merciful and kind and compassionate and loving and forgiving and full of grace and all of these things. But he's also just and holy. And you need to teach him that he loves you, but you're a sinner. And you need to teach him that if you don't receive Jesus, you will die and go to hell. It doesn't matter if you are born in my family. It doesn't matter if your dad's a preacher. It doesn't matter if you go to church. You must receive him by faith. You need to teach him that he is preeminent. He's all powerful. That his word is consistent. Your child needs to have a reverence for God. By the way, they will only have a reverence if you do. As a parent, I cannot teach what I do not possess. First thing a parent needs to do is teach your kid to fear the Lord. That would include being saved. Number two, second thing you need to teach them is submission to authority. Proverbs chapter 1, verses 8 and 9, Solomon is writing there about teaching his kid to understand authority. You are to teach your kid his responsibility to submit to authority. Hell is full of people that were filled with pride. By the way, if you don't teach them in your home, then the state will have to teach them in their homes. And if the state doesn't teach them, then one day Jesus will teach them. Because Jesus said one day, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess. Some will have done it by faith. Some will do it by force. But there will be the submission to the authority of Jesus Christ. How does your kid know he needs to be saved? How does your kid know that they need to operate under authority? How do they know that they're sinners and that there's an accountability? How do they know those things? They should be learning it under your roof. All you little new mothers. Little new mothers. That might be an oxymoron, but all you mothers, new mothers. And dads, from the crib, your kid is precious right now, and right now they're going to cry, and they'll cry when they're hungry, and they'll cry, and pretty soon they're going to begin to associate crying with getting. My oldest is 15. I think they're still associating crying with getting, and crying with getting. But there will be a day that your little 6-month or 7-month or 8-month old baby is going to expose their rebellion. And they're going to lay in that crib. And they're going to let out a scream that's a different scream. It's not going to be a scream that's just kind of soft and gentle. It's going to be a scream of rebellion. And what they're going to do is they're going to arch their little back. And they're going to turn their little head. And they're going to hit their little thing. And that scream is going to come. The worst thing you can do is say, oh, well, they're just tired. Oh, well, they just don't know what they're doing. No, 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 no. They're expressing that rebellious spirit that they were born in. Well, Pastor, what do? Do I take them up and beat them? No, no. But you find a way. You find a way. I remember when my kids had a diaper on, noise was all they needed. Sometimes I wouldn't even touch them, but I'd hit that bed. And all of a sudden, that cry would go from rebellion to a different cry. By the way, godly sorrow worketh repentance. So sometimes you need to get a hold of it. Don't let your kid develop a rebellious spirit. You are to teach them submission. They will never submit to Jesus Christ if you don't teach them how. By the way, you can't teach submission to authority if you're not under authority. Okay, number three, you got to teach them according to Proverbs chapter 2, verses 1 to 4. You got to teach them the importance of God's word, and you got to teach them the importance of prayer. You got to teach them the importance of God's word, and you got to teach them the importance of prayer. They need God's word so faith can develop in their life. Saving faith. Don't you remember what they said about Timothy? That thou hast known those holy scriptures from when you were a child that were able to make you wise unto salvation. His mom gave him the scriptures early, and it brought him to the Lord Jesus Christ. Then he grew in those scriptures to become a young man of faith. You've got to instruct your kids that they need the Word of God, that God's Word is first, that it's pure, it's authoritative, it's forever settled, that they can trust it. So faith will grow in their heart. And then you better teach them how to pray. Why do they need to pray? Because if you go to Philippians chapter 4, and you find that it speaks of the peace of God that passeth all understanding, there's two pieces in the Bible, peace with God when you get saved, the peace of God that passeth all understanding. That peace of God that passeth all understanding is the result of prayer. It even says it in that chapter. The reason most of our kids don't know the peace of God is because they don't know how to pray. See, there will be a time when mom and dad, you're not going to be able to be sufficient for their need. And they're going to need God. They're going to need to get a hold of the Lord. And man, our kids are so insecure because mom and dad didn't teach them how to pray. Where should your kid learn how to pray? They should be seeing. Yeah. But if they never see dad, well, dad didn't pray. Dad didn't pray. I don't even remember seeing mom pray. We didn't pray at our house. So how do they know what to do? We didn't say dad just went to the garage and drank. And mom waited everybody to go to bed and she got herself fixed up. No. We are to train our children. They need the Word of God and they need to know how to pray. Amen. Number four. We got to train them to love the Lord Jesus Christ in chapter 8. Not to fit within some form of religion, not to fit within some man's doing, not to fit within some church accountability structure. We need to be teaching them the person of Jesus Christ, that He is real. Do you believe that Jesus is real? Say amen. You got to teach them that He loves them, He knows them, He's sufficient for them. Teach them that He's their very best friend. Teach them that they can cry unto Him. Teach them that He's interested in them. Teach them that it's not just the church per se, it's the person of Christ. Oh, you got to. And then number five, I think you need to teach them the Spirit-filled life. Write down Ephesians chapter 5, verse number 18. That's one of the key verses of the Bible, be filled with the Spirit of God. Write down Galatians chapter 2, verse number 20, and write down Galatians chapter 5, verse 6. Galatians 2:20, Galatians 5:6, Ephesians 5:18. Now, probably the number one thing that will destroy and is destroying our children today is sexual immorality. Probably nowhere is a kid more introduced to his sinful flesh than when it comes with immorality. Most pornographic experiences begin innocently. I've had men sit in my office and tell me, with their head buried in their hand, tears running down their face, Pastor, I wish I'd have never gone to my friend's house. I wish he'd have never showed me that magazine. Better be careful who your kids' homes they go over to. I would to God I would have never saw that in my dad's bed or in my dad's bedroom. I would to God I'd have never seen that in that table. I would to God I'd have never come across that. Most that is destroying our children today is sexual immorality. And God created sex. He created us to have the man to have a sex drive. He created that for procreation. He created that for pleasure. Let me just be clear about something. Everything God created is good. How does something become sinful? God didn't create anything sinful. Sex is not sinful. It becomes sinful when the devil perverts it. And so what does the devil do and pervert it? The devil takes that which was given to a husband and to a wife to enjoy, and he perverts it and tells our sixth grade, fifth grade, fourth grade students, now you enjoy that. Let me tell you, it's perverted for middle school children to be sexually active. It's sinful. It's sinful to be sexually active outside of marriage. It's a sin against God. Is sex sin? No. But the twisting and the perversion of that. So here's what's going to happen. Your kid is going to begin to develop and grow, and the temptation of that's going to be fierce. So what are you going to tell them? Take precaution. Let me tell you something. No godly parent would ever advise their kid to go ahead and be sexually active with precaution and think that's God's will. Well, just say no. Well, that didn't get us to stop smoking cigarettes, did it? Now they have to show a guy's heart on the table. I about lose my lunch every time they show that thing. Well, you just look the other way. That didn't work for you. Don't you put yourself in a bad position. Listen, that finds them. So what are you teaching them? I'll tell you exactly what you teach them. Galatians chapter 5, verse number 16. Walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. You see, the only victory we have over sin is because of Jesus Christ. It is the Spirit of God indwelling me. It is the Spirit of God living His life through me. It is the Spirit of God that lets me not have dominion over sin. It's not rules. It's not good intention. It's not accountability standards. It's not that. It's the Spirit of God. And the Spirit of God has to be alive and real and understandable in your kid's life. So you need to teach them what it is to walk with God. Teach them what it is to be filled with the Spirit of God. Teach them that for their own protection. Because no child is going to be able to, with his own hands, find righteousness. The Bible said, there's none that doeth righteous, no, not one. To send your kid out there and just tell them to put confidence in their flesh so that they don't get destroyed is not biblical, folks. Paul said, I'll put no confidence in the flesh. But we've got parents that are just sending their kids out there either with some kind of birth control measure or some kind of protection or some kind of direction. And we're just thinking that, oh, my child will never do this. You did. I did. I don't think Beverly did. She was born perfect. Teach them. The letter of the law killeth. The Spirit giveth what class? Life. Five things you better teach your kid. You better teach them the fear of the Lord. You better teach them the submission to authority. Teach them the importance of God's word and prayer. Teach them to love the person of Christ. And teach them what the Spirit-filled life is. See, that's a dedicated home. A dedicated home says, I want my home to be set apart for the holiness and glory of God. And we're going to train our home. We're going to train our kids in that dedication process. I'm going to be a parent that loves the Lord, has the word of God in my heart. I'm going to be a parent where my life reflects and teaches my children. And these are the things that I'm going to teach my kids. These are the foundational truths. Listen, we have the promise that the word of God shall not return void. If you believe that, say amen. Amen. Let's pray. Let's go home.